This is The Way Phase 4, and I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo. Today's episode is a continuation of a discussion started on the Marvel series, What If, that's currently viewable with a subscription to Disney+. The show is a selection of stories told in alternate universes about things that most definitely did not happen in the main central canon timeline, or what the Marvel show Loki ended up naming the Sacred Timeline. Things happening in this show don't really have any effect on any of the movies or even other shows. It's animated, but that's not why it doesn't matter. And I know that sounds harsh. The show's almost like really good fan fiction or just a look at the hypothetical. The purpose is definitely to entertain and not to inform us about what we will be seeing in the MCU, because, well, you're probably never going to see again or hear again from these versions of characters, storylines, or the universes depicted here in What If. And you're not going to see that in any other Marvel show.
What did you expect?
It feels funny to start out kind of negative like that, but I still would very much like for you to be part of the podcast. Yes, you're a listener and you're participating, but the whole reason behind this adventure of mine is finding, discussing with others, the entertainment we consume. Please send in your thoughts through social media or email. This is thewayphase4@gmail.com, @thewayphase4, and facebook.com/thewayphase4. If we get feedback, we're going to share it.
Now tell me this. If I send an email, where would I put the stamp?
In our last podcast, we asked you to join us thanking cufflinks.com for their support of our podcast by letting them give one of you, the listeners, an item from their more than 3,000 finely crafted accessories, which includes some really terrific Marvel branded merchandise. To enter, this is the way Phase 4's first ever giveaway, you will need to have a Twitter account. Go to our Twitter page if you haven't already, @thewayphase4. Follow us. Find our post about the giveaway and like it. Then reply to it and use the hashtags there in your reply. That's all you have to do. You can write more, but you need the hashtags there. You can copy and paste them right from that tweet. Those hashtags are theway15, cufflinks.com, and thisisthewayphase4. Once you've replied, you find the share button on that reply. You copy the link there and you email it to us at the show. The email is thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com. Now, you'll have that link, your name, and your address. And I'm sorry, but this is only open to the U.S. because I'm very wary right now of international laws concerning giveaways. I don't know how all the bells and whistles and laws and things and rules. I'm just keeping it safe, okay, for myself. The Twitter account selected will be checked to make sure it's following me, that it replied correctly, and that the address will, you know, I'm going to check to see, to make sure that I'm sending the item to the United States. I've already had one person tell me it's complicated. Yes, I suppose it is, but I'm trying to be fair here and keep out bots. I don't want to make it easy for people to create a ton of entries. I want to make sure each listener gets a chance to win. If you don't get selected in October, there's going to be another in November, and there's no restriction on winning more than once. I'd also like to mention our sister podcast, This is the Way, a Star Wars themed show, has an almost identical giveaway schedule. Please help us show cufflinks.com their trust in us is well placed.
No treasure is worth as much as the good that can be done with it.
About the show, if you listened to our first podcast episode on What If, you may have come away thinking we hate the show. That's not the case. After 3 episodes, however, I do feel it dug itself a hole to climb out. The show's supposed to explore alternate realities, like what if Killmonger was able to trick the world into thinking he was a good guy? What if Stephen Strange lost his perfect love instead of his perfect hands? And what if Hank Pym brought back more than his wife from the quantum realm? The narrator of the show is also a character, Uatu, and it's Jeffrey Wright doing the voice work. He's a grim voyeur of not just one universe, but all realities, not to interfere, but to tell the tale as the Watcher.
I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question. what if?
What if you looked all over the multiverse for that next level holiday gift, and this is the year you want to make history? What if you're tired of just looking fine in your finery? What if you like Luke, but you love Loki? What if you head right now to cufflinks.com? Visit that site and you'll find a small, family-run business with over 3,000 accessories available from the biggest brands and fandoms. Cufflinks, yes, they are in the name, but you can find ties, tie bars, lapel pins, shirt studs, socks, and this fall, even bracelets. You have to check out their Marvel brand page. Iron Man, Captain America, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Black Panther, Deadpool, Guardians of the Galaxy, Loki, Avengers, Thor, Spider-Man, X-Men. You can choose bright, colorful offerings or wear something so subtle it will take a sharp eye for the person you want to impress to realize they're in the presence of the world's greatest hero accessories. You don't have to have a need for cufflinks to appreciate the quality, and you might just find yourself considering a bow tie or deciding between gift sets when you see those Thanos Infinity Gauntlets or Captain America shields. There's more than Marvel. DC, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, Star Trek, sports leagues like MLB, NFL, NHL, collegiate offerings, and of course, Star Wars. In fact, just like our Star Wars themed podcast, we can offer you the same site-wide discount code for 15% off your purchase when you enter THEWAY15 in the coupon code box at checkout. And look, some shows might not even tell you this, but in September, you can save even more if you spend more than $175 by the end of the month and use their 20% off code of Fresh Looks. What if you want to look marvelous while wearing Marvel? Well, cufflinks.com has you covered, no matter which universe you call home. Check out cufflinks.com today. Episode 4 attempts to show us just how close Doctor Strange was to becoming a villain if he hadn't been personally humbled by losing the ability to perform surgery. What if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands was written by A.C. Bradley and kicked off the 9th month and middle third of the What If show, September 1st, 2021. The show begins with Strange driving to the gala. This time, instead of being alone on that road, Dr. Christine Palmer comes with him in his car. He doesn't lose his hands, but Dr. Palmer dies in that crash. We see Strange still ends up on a quest this time. Instead of regaining his prowess and being humbled by his inability, he's driven by the loss of Christine. He travels to Kamar Taj, learns the mystic arts, discovers the Time Stone, as before, with the Eye of Agamotto. But because of his loss, he's obsessed with going back to save Christine.
What if the best of intentions has very strange consequences?
Over and over again, he tries to change what happened, but the Ancient One splits Strange into two versions of himself while he's trying to do this. One accepts fate, but the other refuses to, and that's the one we end up watching throughout all of his attempts. We follow the latter as he tries to undo an absolute point in time by summoning, then absorbing, the most powerful beings in the dark dimensions. These are all monsters, right? But he's harnessing all the power in the universe to bring back Christine. He ends up discovering the split, but the good Doctor Strange loses to the evil one, and he himself is absorbed, doing awful things to time and the universe in the process. Palmer, still beyond saving. In the end, with the universe collapsing, Strange creates a small crystalline-like bubble where he can watch Christine disintegrate before his eyes forever. Strange even becomes aware of the Watcher, begging for help, but Uatu refuses.
I read about you, sensed your presence. You're a god. You can undo this.
I'm not a god, and neither are you.
Strange is left in a personal hell of sorts, unable to save Christine, the universe, or himself. He's now trapped outside time and the universe, and left to grieve for infinity.
I didn't mean for this to happen!
This is definitely my favorite episode so far. Maybe it feels more effective as a story because of pride being involved. Perhaps by this point, I'd just given up on the issues with the TVA and how Doctor Strange hasn't come across them, you know, mentioned them at all, or dealt with any repercussions from time manipulation, you know, in the main sacred timeline of the movies, that is. It also simply might be that this departure from the character we know feels more acceptable because of the decisions that follow from Strange seeming reasonable. You know, he never had to get on his knees and beg the Ancient One out of humility. His begging in Kamar Taj here was out of desperation and pain caused by lost love. You know, it's a jealous move. Of all the episodes, this one also has a penalty associated with it. And it's his own personal hell of solitude, you know, at the cost of the entire universe. To me, this was a representation of what the show could have been every week. More Twilight Zone than, I don't know what those first two episodes were. They were just awful to me.
Thanos is coming. He's coming. Hello?
The next episode was one teased often in media because of the striking visual of a zombified Captain America screaming at the screen. What If Zombies is a Matthew Chauncey authored episode streaming for the first time on September 8th, 2021. The episode begins with Bruce Banner coming to Earth to warn of the invasion of Thanos. Except on arrival, he's greeted not just with a fight from the minions of Thanos, but also zombies. It would seem that when rescuing Janet Van Dyne from the Quantum Realm, Hank Pym is attacked by his wife who has been infected by a zombie virus. When Hank is pulled out, the virus ends up spreading not just to people, but also to the heroes who are the most dangerous superpowered zombies imaginable. Bruce discovers that there are some holdouts, but one by one they end up getting picked off horror story style. You know, the group learns of a potential cure on the way to an old army camp in New Jersey. Happy Hogan, Sharon Carter, and Hope Van Dyne are all lost to the infection. There at the camp, the rest of them discover Vision. He's been sending out a call for help, having discovered a way that the Mind Stone can reverse the virus. And we see Scott Lang's head is kept alive in a jar, kind of like what you'd see on the animated show Futurama. But Vision is eerily reluctant to help. His most prized patient resists treatment. He can't cure Wanda. He can only keep her zombified form satiated and contained. Vision, like Strange in the episode before, can't bring himself to sacrifice his love for the good of humanity. And we find out that he's actually been feeding pieces of T'Challa the Black Panther to Wanda. Wanda ends up breaking free, kills more of the remaining heroes, with Vision finally accepting his own death because he couldn't bring himself to fight. He gives Peter Parker the Mind Stone, killing himself, but allows a chance to broadcast the Infinity Stone's energy across the planet with the help of Wakandan technology with that sacrifice. Unfortunately, upon arriving in Africa, the group discovers someone got there first, one stone shy of a full gauntlet. A zombie Thanos.
We really did it!
No, don't jinx it! Ugh, doesn't anybody here watch horror movies?
This might be the second favorite of the episodes for me, even though I'm not a horror fan. The reveal at the end of Thanos and his zombified horde was a great gut punch, and it did feel like there's an absolute consequence where this universe isn't allowed to continue diverging from the sacred timeline because it's going to cease to exist. You know, the zombies win here, meaning there's no challenger to Kang, no conflict at the end of time, just brains. I mean zombies.
That was a spectacular entrance, seriously.
The Ten Rings have reinforcements en route. We need to move now.
Fine by me, Lieutenant Killmonger.
Episode 6 takes us back to, if not the first movie officially in the MCU timeline, it's certainly the movie that kickstarted everything. It's the first few minutes of the movie Iron Man. What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark was written by Chauncey and streamed first on September 15th, 2021. The episode begins with the convoy ambush in Afghanistan, but this time instead of the Stark Industries bomb knocking out and almost killing Tony, Killmonger is there to save him. Stark feels indebted to Killmonger, Eric Stevens or N'Jadaka, and makes him his first director of security, where he immediately exposes Obadiah Stane's treachery. That only endears him more to Tony, and we get to see a scene of Happy Hogan saying, "That was supposed to be my promotion." But Tony brings on Killmonger in development of humanoid combat drones. Killmonger suggests obtaining vibranium on the black market and manipulates the military into a buy from Ulysses Claw. It's all a trap, though. Killmonger is not only using it to kill James Rhodes, who never becomes War Machine, but he also uses it to kill T'Challa as the Black Panther. It's all a plan to engineer war between the United States and Wakanda to bring down the whole system. But Tony Stark discovers the truth with his own security footage. Killmonger just kills Tony, wipes the footage, and kills Claw, then brings him as tribute to Wakanda, you know, to earn favor and a place in his lost family. In America, he tells Thaddeus Ross that Stark and Rhodes were killed by Wakandan forces. Thunderbolt Ross sends Tony's drone army to attack Wakanda, but Killmonger helps the Wakandans to stop them. T'Chaka makes Killmonger the new Black Panther, and as the United States prepares for all-out war, T'Challa's sister Shuri, one of my newest favorite characters incidentally, visits Pepper Potts. She is suspicious of her long-lost family member, with reason it turns out, and Shuri proposes a backdoor alliance with Potts to try and stop him.
"I knew it. He killed Tony. And your brother? How did you get this?"
"Mr. Stark was a genius. But he's not the only genius."
If I had to put a ranking on this episode, it'd be right around 3 or 4 so far, with the Avengers assassinated alongside that one. The endings of those two seem similar, you know, with a secret alliance forming. Here, at least it seems like Wakanda is involved, unlike when Loki took over Midgard at the United Nations. It doesn't change the character of Killmonger too much here, except it does make him a lot smarter, a little bit more effective tactically, and if you think about it, it makes him more powerful too. I still think they sort of wasted Killmonger in Black Panther. I think they could have found a way to set him up as a lingering villain, but I definitely don't think making him like he appears in this episode in the main storyline would have worked well. I hold out hope that Kang happens to be a descendant of Wakanda in the MCU, even if it has some shenanigans associated with it. You know, Tony's daughter has to marry Shuri's son, or maybe Tony Stark's grandson marries a daughter of Shuri or something like that. I don't know, but I'd like to see that. Wakanda, being so powerful yet hidden, never bothered me for a second, but it's the kind of story point where you must admit, once revealed, it has to change the entire world. Vibranium can't be the only thing that ever gets smuggled out of Wakanda, you know? Knowledge, technology, culture, that it seeps out of everywhere. The end result here surely would have been too divergent for Kang to allow, but again, we're choosing to accept that, even though it takes place before Loki and Sylvie started working together.
"I beg your pardon?"
And that is the second third of the Marvel What If series on Disney+. 3 more episodes to go. The middle 3 definitely improved, in my opinion, with stories that felt better exploring because the endings and consequences seemed to be more severe. Just like the rest, these episodes are not going to ultimately affect the future storytelling of the MCU. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy them.
"I have questions."
"I have answers."
Before we go, I'd like to remind you about our coupon code for cufflinks.com. The Wave 15 gets you 15% off everything in your cart, everything site-wide. I'd also like to remind you about our upcoming giveaway. I told you a little bit about it before in this podcast episode and in our last one. But if we reach a minimum number of entries, we're going to select one of the entries to send a gift, and we will announce that selection in an October episode of this podcast. You can enter both the Star Wars This Is The Way podcast giveaway and our Marvel theme podcast, this one, This Is The Way Phase 4. And yes, it is possible to win both. Cufflinks.com is an exclusive, officially licensed provider of cufflinks for several brands, including Marvel, and I'd like you to help me thank them for partnering with us on this podcast and the Star Wars one, and grow our follower list at the same time. Just go ahead and rewind this podcast at the end, actually re-download it and listen again, and then you can hear the instructions on how to enter.
"You're my hero, Steve. I mean, you're
a hero.
Email us at thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or interact on Twitter @thewayphase4 or on facebook.com/thewayphase4. There are more episodes to air, and we will have another podcast episode for you in October. The next live-action show to air on Disney Plus will be Hawkeye, hitting the Disney Plus streaming service on November 24th. Black Widow and Shang-Chi have already come out in theaters. The Eternals comes out on November 5th, and Spider-Man No Way Home spins into theaters December 17th. This has been This Is the Way Phase 4's discussion of Episodes 4 through 6 of What If? I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.